that when you look at that and then you see that the next flight also they go 20 minutes and there's no scramble and to get there. And then when you look at the third flight,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
By that time it becomes pretty clear that you can't have that many mistakes happen.
No, that doesn't
in
become
the same
clear.
Morning.
It becomes puzzling. But you've jumped to a conclusion before you knew the answer.
Well, as you're well aware, the military doesn't do anything without orders. They have a standing order
really?
To do something, so
really?
why would they not do it unless they were ordered to do otherwise?
Well, I think there's some flaw in how flawlessly you think the military does things. But anyway, thank you.
All right. Okay.
Thank
Thanks
you for
your
call.
The military does things. It's a very ordered society, and orders are the order of the day, so to speak.
Yeah, let me clarify.
Yeah.
He's inferring that because I said I don't have an elaborate theory that I don't make judgments about certain things. I do definitely make judgments about such things, that there was some kind of stand-down order.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't know is what the overall plan was, what, you know, all the details of what occurred. But after the several years I've been studying this, and particularly with the new information that I've gotten for this new book, I have no doubt whatsoever there was some sort of stand-down order.
It does, to me, really defy all credibility when you know, if you have a mistake once, okay, it's a big mistake. It's unfathomable how big a mistake that could be. But twice, three times, and then four times, I don't know. I'm just that defies my ability to just go, well, you know, sometimes they're kind of goofy.
Especially in such a profession as air traffic controllers, they're very trained and there's certain procedures you have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And why wouldn't they follow them?
And you can make the same argument with regard to the buildings. You might say, well, you know, maybe one of those buildings was so poorly constructed, or maybe some fluke happened
right.
that it just happened to come down just as if it had been filled with explosives, and it comes straight down at free fall speed symmetrically, just like a planned implosion. But a second building does the same thing, a third building does the
same thing. Right, and then the third building that's not hit.
Yeah, that's the really weird one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really want to talk about that right after we take this call here. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much. I think what's exemplary with what's happened with 9/11 and all the different idiosyncrasies and the official story and like that, that it's also exemplary to how this administration has conducted itself over the last two terms, you know, with the voter fraud and the contradictions in a lot of official stories, Bush's speaking, Karl Rove and like that. And I just kind of want to say something to another conspiracy theory, I guess, as to the power structure that's in place right now. Their ability to insulate themselves from legal scrutiny and, for example, to be able to pull something like the 9/11 tragedy, to pull it off, just how it relates, you know, to everything that's happening. You know, they seem to ignore what they don't want to listen to, and they fabricate stories that seem to fit the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the atmosphere has definitely changed from the early days. Anybody who dared question 9/11, you know, how dare you? And it was unpatriotic, it was un-American, it was everything. But as the years have gone by and people have seen what this administration has done, what we've done in Afghanistan and especially Iraq and then with Katrina and then with all these
mm-hmm.
other things, people's ability to say, well, they just wouldn't have done 9/11 has become
sure.
less and less. So more and more people are now saying, well, either I'm convinced they did it or at least I'm open to the possibility and let's look at the evidence. And that's
right.
the frame of mind we need. As I said in an earlier book, quoting Richard Falk, you only need a 30% open mind to look at the evidence. And once you do, and read some of the reviews I've gotten on Amazon.com. There's a recent review by a woman named Andrea, and she says she began reading this book just because a friend kept bugging her to do it, and she knew it was going to be so absurd that she had to have the TV on in the background to have something interesting. And she ended up in a pretty desperate strait and saying, you know, I don't know what to do. Criminals have taken over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I'd also like to critique the idea that, you know, somehow if we question the war in Iraq, that we're not supporting the troops, and how dare we, because they're fighting for our freedoms. And I guess my question is, like, well, when has our military ever won us freedoms? It seems like it's always been working people and grassroots efforts that's ever won any personal freedoms for Americans. And it's always seemed that the military or the police, and I would say military, like Kent State, or the police, any number of demonstrations that we've had recently, have ever won us any freedoms. And when you talk to people who are pro-military, they say, oh, well, you can't mix politics with orders, you know, and just by that alone, it's like, well, how can you win freedoms by following orders?
You're right that you've got to be very careful, you know, not fall for the propaganda slogans of the administration, because they use this, oh, you're not supporting the troops, when it's they who were not giving the troops the kind of armor they needed. It was this administration mm-hmm. who, when the troops came home wounded, were not giving them adequate care.
Mm-hmm.
So the same way with 9/11, they say, oh, that's outrageous, or that's an insult to the families. Well, those are the same sort. That's the same sort of propaganda to try to stop thought, try to stop investigation, because they know if people look into the empirical facts about 9/11, their game's all over.
All right. Thank you very much for your call this morning, sir. I want to talk about the buildings coming down and the actual collapse of the buildings and the empirical science involved in that. There were the two towers that were struck, you know, by the planes. And then there's Building 7, which collapses sort of unthinkably by itself a little bit later. All of these buildings came straight down at the free fall speed that you had talked about previously. Can you talk a little bit about the significance of the speed with which the buildings came down?
Yes. This is one of the, I have about 10 characteristics, each one of which shows that the buildings had to be brought down by explosives. That even when you're talking about the towers and say, whoa, they were hit by airplanes and they had those huge fires in them, and that's what brought them down, that just can't be. Because the fires, you know, the buildings are hit pretty high up. The fires go up, not down. And so let's say that their official theory is right, that the hole created by the airplanes weakened that whole floor, a couple floors there. So the top part of the building above that hole fell down on the floors below and then somehow caused the collapse. Well, in those floors below, we're talking about 110-story buildings. So we're talking about, 80 to 90 floors there, 95 floors. And they are concrete filled with steel columns and beams, all interlaced, an enormous amount of steel. These core columns, 47 of those, are just truly massive at the bottom and still pretty big in the middle and at the top. For these buildings to come down free fall speed, it means that if you dropped a brick off the building just as they started to collapse, the brick would get to the ground at about the same time that the stuff going right down through the middle of the building got there. So in other words, all those lower floors are not offering any resistance whatsoever. So here we're just talking about basic Newtonian physics that one learns in high school, that there's a conservation of energy, conservation of momentum. This just can't happen. Stuff can't fall through steel and concrete as if it weren't there, unless it has been completely removed by explosives. And furthermore, the towers don't just collapse. That's the language we use. They disintegrate. They blew out at the top, and you've got those enormous dust clouds going out. Furthermore, you've got pieces of big chunks of steel, sections of two or three or four of the perimeter columns, which are hooked together, blasted over out 400 to 500 feet horizontally and plastered on other buildings. This is horizontal energy. The only energy that we have there is fire and gravity. Gravity is vertical energy. Mm-hmm. What's the source of that tremendous horizontal energy?
Well, when the plane hit, wouldn't that have necessarily pushed the tower horizontally?
Well, the plane hits, and then it's 56 minutes later for the South Tower before it collapses. Much longer than that for the North Tower. So, no, the towers were perfectly still mm-hmm. at the time, and none of that steel was thrown out at that time. It all happens when they start to disintegrate.
Well, you know, what I thought was very interesting was the fact that the people who worked in the towers, some of the ones who escaped, reported that they were told that nothing happened. They should go back to their desks and sit down. They were not to leave. That some of them were, like, ordered to return to work and that, oh, nothing's going on.
Right.
Don't leave. Go sit down. Get back to work. That seemed unconscionable to me.
And particularly when you realize that Rudy Giuliani had been told, he says, that the towers were going to collapse. He said this on an interview with Peter Jennings. He said, when we were there on Bark Street with our emergency operation, we were told the towers were going to collapse. Well, first of all, that's just amazing because never before mm-hmm. in history have steel-framed high-rise buildings collapsed for any cause other than being brought down by explosives.
And why would the people not be removed if that was the case?
Pardon?
Why would the people not be warned and removed?
Exactly. So Giuliani and his people got away from there, but nobody told the people in the buildings to get down. The firefighters were up there, you know, and if people want to say, oh, geez, there were huge fires, we've got voice recordings of people, firemen up there, and they're saying, hey, we got a couple little fires here on, I forget exactly what floor, but it was pretty high up. And they said, we just need a couple more hoses and we'll be able to knock this down. So the people who were up there and seeing what was going on had no thought that there was any danger whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those people, so we again are talking about murder.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, in that closely related way, Building 7, and you note in the afterword to the second edition of New Pearl Harbor, Larry Silverstein, who is quoted, Larry Silverstein is, we see the person that had, he was connected in the building of the World Trade Center, right?
He had owned a Building 7,
right.
And then he had taken a lease out on the others. And the lease gave him a tremendous insurance policy.
About half a billion dollars,
well,
you know.
Half a billion for Building 7, and he's going for a total of $7 billion altogether.
Wow.
And it's all premised on the idea that, of course, these were two terrorist attacks, and that these two terrorist attacks on the Twin Towers somehow also caused Building 7, which was way across the way, a couple blocks away, also to come down. And then I think what you were getting to is his notorious statement.
The PBS documentary.
Yeah,
right.
Where he said, well, I was talking to the fire captain, and I said, you know, we've had such a terrible loss of life. Maybe we just better, with regard to Building 7, maybe we just better pull it.
Right.
And pull... And I report in the book, some people did some check with controlled demolition, and pull it is a term, despite all the propaganda used to say bringing a building down. And why in the world he would have said such a thing when he's counting on it being a terrorist attack that brought the building
mm-hmm.
down, I have no theory about that, but he did say it.
And the rest of the quote in the book, I just happen to have it in front of me. Just as you said, and then he finishes by saying, and they made the decision to pull, and we watched the building collapse.
That's right. So now when he tries to say, oh, I meant pull the contingent of firefighters.
Right.
The contingent of firefighters were pulled at noon. The building comes down at 5:20. So the idea that he pulled the contingent of firefighters and then watched the building come down 5.5 hours almost later.
Right.
It's ridiculous. But I say it's a big mystery as to why he ever said that in public when the cameras were going, especially.
Right.
But he did. But it's just one of the many things. And, you know, they've tried to keep Building 7 a secret. The poll that was taken in the summer of 2006 included the question, are you aware that Building 7, WTC 7, collapsed too? Only about half of our population was. They showed it that very first night, and, you know, good old Dan Rather said, hey, that looks just like all those buildings we've seen brought down by explosives.
Right.
They never showed it again, as far as I know, on mainstream television.
And now Dan Rather's lost his job.
And when you look at that building, you know, it's so obvious. So I quote in there, we've got a growing number of experts who've looked at that and said, there's no doubt about it. A couple professors of structural engineering at the most prestigious institute in Switzerland say that. And then it was shown to a demolition expert in Holland, Danny Jowinko. And he had never heard that Building 7 came down, and somebody showed him the video, and he asked, what is that? And he said, well, that's obvious. I mean, that's a demolition.
Right.
And
right.
Then they said, well, that's World Trade Center 7, and he looked so puzzled. And he says, what? What? Just the Twin Towers came down. No, a third building came. Are you sure? Finally, when he's convinced, then he says, well, you know, then those boys were very busy today, and they knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a demolition expert who there's no doubt about in his mind, because he knows what it takes to bring down a building at free fall speed vertically.
Right.
There are only a few companies in the world, in fact, that have the expertise, because it's such a delicate matter. The explosives have to be set in just the right place. They have to go off in just the right order. You know, it's all put on a computer. And the idea that some fire in a building could somehow just accidentally simulate what it takes all that expertise to do is ridiculous. So it's no wonder that they don't want to talk about it. And NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which was given the job of explaining why these buildings came down, they put out their report in 2005 on the towers. Then they put out an explanation why they hadn't been able to put out a report on Building 7 yet. And then in 2006, they put out another document, Answer to Frequently Asked Questions. They again give excuses why they couldn't give an explanation about Building 7. Now it's almost a year later, and they still haven't come out with their report.
Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead, and we have only 7 minutes left. We are running out of time very quickly here, and let's squeeze in another question from our listener. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
I don't have a question, so I just have a comment. I think it's great that the Bush administration took down the World Trade Towers. We know that vast majority of people in New York are Democrats, and just think how many Democrats were murdered in that. I was hoping that maybe next time we could...
I'm sorry, running out of time.
We do not need to listen to that. People advocating murder of people based on their political beliefs on the radio? Sorry, no.
And, we're kind of tired of your distraction, regular caller there. Okay, so let's go ahead and take you... I'll call her now. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I guess you mean me.
That's you.
That's you.
Very good. I really thank all the people who have been working on investigating this 9/11 incident, because America needs to know the truth. One thing I just would like to comment, though, is that the morning that I saw it, as soon as I saw the building hit by the plane, I said to myself, this is the best thing that ever happened to George Bush.
Uh-huh.
He He now has a technique to fill us with fear and to get our blind faith because we are so afraid. And that's why all the lies that have been told about it have saturated the media. And that's what makes the challenge of getting at the truth so difficult. And to me, how they prove it, how it happened, when they prove it, I don't need to even know those details. I know they were lying to me. And I know that those lies got us into that war. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, because that gets to the other question. Talk about motive, because whenever you're talking about a crime, you've got to show not only the people had the means and the opportunity to commit the crime, but also the motive. So in the New Pearl Harbor, then in my second book, the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, and then again in my third book, Christian Faith and the Truth Behind 9/11, and again in this last book, The Debunking 9/11 Debunking, I repeat this, that they had massive motives. They already had decided to go to war in Afghanistan in July of 2001. Yeah. We have quotes that show that. It's very clear, and even clearer now, that they were ready to go to war against Iraq. Mm-hmm. That was the main item on the agenda. Several members of the Bush administration have now said publicly, at least three. And these guys, Wolfowitz and Pearl and Cheney and Rumsfeld, had been militating to go to war in against Iraq since the early 90s and wrote letters to Clinton, this project for the new American century. Would write him letters saying, we need to attack Iraq. And they put out this document in the fall of 2000, just shortly before the Bush-Cheney administration took office, called the Project for the New American Century. And in there, they describe what we need for a Pax Americana. And what they're talking about was the first all-inclusive empire in history, total global empire. And this will take, they said, a great increase in military spending and a transformation of the military to make it much more technologically advanced, particularly putting weapons in space, tremendously expensive. They said this process of transformation will probably go slowly, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event, such as a new Pearl Harbor. So if people want motive, there is a huge motive because you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars, and of course they have gotten that. And the Bush administration, as she suggested, got its at least momentary popularity. He went from being one of the most unpopular presidents early in his term to being invincible. They were able to get through everything they wanted with no questions asked.
At least until people saw the clip in Michael Moore's movie of him sitting there dumbfounded reading My Pet Goat.
And, you know, Michael Moore, he shifted there and said, okay, when Bush was looking strange, what is he thinking? Is it something to do with the Saudis and so on? But he raised the, if you look at that again, at the beginning of that, he raised the crucial question. Because at that moment, the Secret Service should have known, should have gotten him out of there.
Yes.
Because standard procedure is, if there's any danger to the president, they've got a pre-arranged place, secret place. They rush him to get him to safety. Even the president doesn't know. And they take him out of there as fast as possible. And yet, at that moment, there was they believe that there were 11 planes that were possibly hijacked. They had to assume, if it was a surprise attack, there was a plane bearing down on the school that very minute that would kill Bush, all the kids, and the Secret Service agents themselves. And yet they let Bush stay in the classroom another 10 minutes. They let him stay at the school another 30 minutes and even get on TV and therefore say, in effect, any terrorist out there who want to ram a plane in here, I'm still here.
Right, take me on.
I know, that just doesn't make any sense.
But meanwhile, Cheney was in the underground bunker,
secure
and protected, and giving orders.
Because he's the real president, don't you know?
Hey, Dr. Griffin, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. We are totally out of time.
Yes.
I do want to mention one more time, your talk Monday night here in Portland, Smith Memorial Union Ballroom. at PSU. That starts at 7 p.m., and we thank you very much.
Well, I thank you.
Yes, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll talk with you again, I'm sure.
Take care. And you want to stay tuned because Marlena's Electronic Salon is coming up. She'll have Ed Goldberg discussing politics and culture. She'll interview Martine Prechtel, writer and teacher of the International School Bolad's Kitchen at 11 on Democracy Now! Here interview with Momia Abu-Jamal. And keep on being positively revolting. See you next week.
Lou Abel and Seth Dunawai, for the children of Israel was supposed to multiply. And why must any of the children die? So he asked the Lord, and the Lord said, man means nothing. Less to me than the lowliest cactus flower, the humblest yucca tree. He chases round this desert 'cause he thinks that's where I'll be. That's why I love mankind. I recoil in horror. Squalor in the filth, in the misery. How we laugh up here in heaven at the prayers you offer me. That's why I love mankind. The Christians and the Jews having a jamboree, the Buddhists and the Hindus joined on satellite TV. They picked their four greatest priests. They began to speak. They said, Lord, a plague is on the world. Lord, no man is free. The temples that we built to you tumbled into the sea. Lord, if you won't take care of us, won't you please, please let us be? And the Lord said, I'll burn down your cities. How blind you must be. I take from you your children and you say, how blessed are we? Y'all must be crazy to put your faith in me. That's why I love mankind. You really need me. That's why I love mankind.